sure about how to sing that hymn. And after saying that it was the great hymn of the church, I didn't want to mess it up. Scott knows how badly I did because he was sitting close enough to me. Well, I'm going to be honest with you guys tonight. I'd be lying if I said I was excited about the season of Lent. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about it all day, this Ash Wednesday, how unexcited I am about Lent. I mean, 6 weeks of somberness, 6 weeks of withholding the alleluias, which I'm saying in the context of a sermon, which doesn't count, for those who are waiting for me to mess up. I'm not excited about Lent, but I'm pretty sure that I need it. I'm pretty sure that I need this time. I was thinking about it today, thinking, Lord, I can think of a lot of other things to do with the next 6 weeks. But then to reflect on my own need for self-denial and sacrifice, to be cognizant of my own sinfulness, my own brokenness. But I need it. I want to just real briefly share three thoughts on why I think I need Lent. And I hope it might be helpful to you. The first thought I want to give to you really comes from one of the pivotal passages when we talk about Lent. Why 40 days? Why this 40-day period leading up to Easter? Well, one reason is because the number 40 seems so important enough that God would send His Son, Christ Jesus, into the desert for 40 days. When you look at the Matthew 4, and I know you don't have Bibles out there, but I was thinking that perhaps a good Lenten practice would be that we started bringing our Bibles to church with us. How about that for a Lenten discipline? But let me read it to you, or not read it to you, but let me remind you of it. This is the famous passage, you know it, when Jesus is led of the Spirit, we're told, into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he had nothing to eat during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry, an understatement to say the least. And the devil began to tempt the Lord Jesus. Temptation is not necessarily a bad thing. Realize that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for those 40 days. And all a part of that was that He would be tempted of the devil. I think I need Lent. I think I need to have things that I am tempted by because I'm putting things off, or I've decided not to eat chocolate, or whatever it is that you decide about the season of Lent, because it reminds us of the one that we are resisting, the evil one. Oh, that Satan was so obvious that he came and spoke to me and told me the things that he's tempting me with. I think I need a season of Lent because I need to remember that I should be tempted by things. There are two ways to react to temptation. You either give in to temptation or you resist it. And there's something to be said for knowing where the line is and pushing back from it. So I think that's one reason I need the season of Lent. In the desert, Jesus says after the third temptation of Satan, Scripture says that we are to worship the Lord our God and serve Him only. Boy, I'm tempted to serve other things. And so, allowing myself to be in a position of denying myself some things, voluntarily pushing back, reminds me of where the temptations are in my life. It also reminds me of how weak I really am. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, if giving up soft drinks for the next 46 days, including the Sundays, or giving up blues music, which Ted thinks I should do, if that's difficult, then I'm weaker than I think. And all the more reason the rest of the year to pray and to guard my heart and to make sure I'm in relationships with other people that are going to also hold me accountable. So I think I need Lent for that reason. The second scriptural picture I want to remind you of is a reason for the Lenten season, why I need it, is Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is another famous piece of scripture. Let me read it for you. You'll recognize it when you hear it. Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will." This is the New English Version. Paul commends to every Christian that we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I don't think self-indulgence is going to get us there. How do I do that? How do I offer myself as a living sacrifice? My spiritual act of worship. How do I allow God to renew my mind? Well, it may be very helpful for me to push back some of the clutter, some of the noise of my life, to deny myself some things, to spend a little bit more time contemplating where I have erred and gone astray, that I might begin to let this process of being a living sacrifice unto God be manifest in my life. Sin becomes too comfortable. We get used to our sin way, way too easy. And so we need a season of Lent to jar us back, to remind us that we are called to be living sacrifices. And that there's something in this world that is trying to compete with that goal for every Christian. I'm going to give you permission to take this bulletin home tonight. And I want you to consider taking the prayers, we'll say, in a few minutes, the Litany of Penitence. That's just a fancy way of saying, a prayer of saying I'm sorry. Read through those. Let that be part of your daily time with God. And it will renew your desire to be a living sacrifice. The last scriptural picture I want to draw for you before we end and continue with our liturgy is one that's probably a little less familiar to you, but is, I think, an important Lenten scripture. And that is the story in Luke 7 of the woman who washes Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair. Are you familiar with this story? In Luke 7, we are told that a Pharisee, a religious person, invites Jesus to his home. And into this home comes a woman who's of, well, she's got a scandalous story. She's known as being somewhat of a loose woman. and she's weeping. And she comes to Jesus and she's weeping so much that she begins to weep on His feet, and then she begins to clean His feet, not with a towel, but with her own hair. And then to take perfume and to begin to pour it on our Lord and Savior's feet. And the Pharisee basically tries to chide Jesus and say, well, if He was really a prophet, He would know who's touching Him and He would rebuke her. And Jesus says in this great passage to this Pharisee, look, I came to your house. You didn't offer to wash me, to wash my feet. Yet this woman has washed my feet with her tears. You didn't offer to anoint my head with oil. She's anointed my feet with rich perfume. And at the end of that story, Jesus says that basically the woman has been forgiven much, and so she loves much. And by implication to the Pharisee, she says, but because you feel you've been forgiven little, you love little. The third reason I think I need Lent is because my love for my Lord grows cold. It's too easy to forget all that Jesus has done for me. You see, the Pharisee and this woman, the scandalous woman, they're just the same. They're both sinners. They're both broken humans. But one recognizes how much she has to ask forgiveness for. The other one is caught up in his own self-righteousness and doesn't realize. And Jesus says, if you don't get it, you don't realize how much you've been forgiven, you're not going to love very much. And the third thing I think that Lent does for us is it helps to warm up our love for Jesus by reminding us that we've been forgiven much, which only can have the response of making us love Him even more. One of my favorite hymns says these words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. Use this Lenten time to allow the Lord to increase your love for Him, to bind your heart to Him. Use this Lent to remind us of how weak we are, how much we need to depend upon Him. Use this Lenten time to once again commit ourselves to being living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.